Last week in John 1:29-42, Stuart spoke about Simon's name being changed to Peter, which means the rock, a name that gave meaning to his life and to his purpose, and how Jesus sees his purposes for our lives, giving us a different name or label to the one that the world would give us. God has a purpose for each one of us. Follow Jesus and see. Reading and praying in preparation for this morning, I felt led to further explore our God-given purpose. The dictionary defines purpose as the reason for which something exists or is done, made, used, etc. An intended or desired result, end, aim, or goal, and a determination, a resoluteness. There are perhaps three areas of purpose for God's people: as the church family, and as an individual within this. They're all linked. As individuals, parts of the body, we work along with all the other parts in our fellowship to become an effective tool for God's purpose, for this time and in this place. All these smaller bodies join together to form the church, which is the worldwide body of believers, each working in their own area to bring about God's kingdom. As Christians, part of our purpose is, of course, to glorify God, to worship and honor him. It is also to become part of God's family of believers, to become more like Jesus, to allow ourselves to be shaped to serve God, and to recognize that we are made for mission. In these ways, we live out his purposes for us. Whilst these five purposes are for all of us, God also has a unique purpose for each individual. Today's reading from Matthew 4:12-23 talks about Jesus beginning his ministry and traveling through Galilee, teaching, preaching, and healing, and the calling of the first disciples. And I've asked Kevin if he'd read the passage to us.
It's Matthew 4:12-23. The ministry of Jesus begins. When Jesus heard that John had been arrested, he left Judea and returned to Galilee. But instead of going to Nazareth, he went to Capernaum, beside the Sea of Galilee, in the region of Zebulun and Naphtali. This fulfilled Isaiah's prophecy. In the land of Zebulun and Naphtali, beside the sea, beyond the Jordan River, in Galilee, where so many Gentiles live, the people who sat in darkness have seen a great light. And for those who lived in the land where death cast its shadow, a light has shined. From then on, Jesus began to preach, "Turn from your sins and turn to God, because the kingdom of heaven is near." One day, as Jesus was walking along the shore beside the Sea of Galilee, he saw two brothers, Simon, also called Peter, and Andrew, fishing with a net, for they were commercial fishermen. Jesus called out to them, "Come, be my disciples, and I will show you how to fish for people." And they left their nets at once and went with him. A little further up the shore, he saw two other brothers, James and John, sitting in a boat with their father Zebedee, mending their nets. And he called them to come too. They immediately followed him, leaving the boat and their father behind. Jesus traveled throughout Galilee, teaching in the synagogues, preaching everywhere the good news about the kingdom, and he healed people who had every kind of sickness and disease.
Thanks, Kevin. The first six verses follow after Jesus' temptation in the wilderness, and it says he returned to Galilee, to Capernaum. Not only did this, that's in verses 15 and 16, fulfill the prophecy in Isaiah 9:1-4, but it was also the place where he would meet and call his first disciples, Andrew and Simon, James and John. Looking back to last Sunday, it says in John that Andrew had been a disciple of John the Baptist, but had left John to follow Jesus. Andrew told his brother Simon that the Messiah had been found and brought Simon to Jesus, And this was when Jesus changed Simon's name to Peter. The stories differ slightly, but we can only assume that this was how it happened. And it was at some point shortly after this that Jesus approached them at the Sea of Galilee and told them to follow me. And they did. They followed immediately, leaving behind family, friends, home, and jobs. These brand new disciples were obviously prepared spiritually by God, but despite Jesus warning them about the cost of following him, they would have had no idea of the things that were to lie ahead of them. Ultimately, many of them would, like Jesus, give up their lives. Would we have followed so readily? Many people or disciples followed Jesus, but Jesus formally chose 12 to serve as apostles. In Mark 3, 13 to 19. Simon, who became Peter, Andrew, James, and John, Philip, Bartholomew, Matthew, Thomas, James, son of Alphaeus, Simon the Zealot, Judas, son of James, also known as Thaddeus, and Judas Iscariot, who became a traitor. 12 apostles, or sent ones. 12, the same number as the tribes of Israel. And these 12 formed the basis of a new Israel. They were charged by Jesus to proclaim the good news of the kingdom. As it says in Matthew 28, 19 and 20, to go and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, and teaching them to obey everything I have commanded you. And surely I will be with you always to the very end of the age. This is known as the Great Commission. Our purpose. This applies as truly to my life today, to your life today, as it did to the 12 apostles. In today's reading, verse 23 says, Jesus traveled through Galilee, teaching in the synagogues, preaching everywhere the good news about the kingdom, and he healed people who had every kind of sickness and disease. And Jesus said that we can do everything that he did, our purpose. Following Jesus today still means what it always meant, to devote ourselves to him, to be faithful, to learn, study the Bible, spend time with God, watch, pray, listen, question, trust, and obey. As per the dictionary definition, we need to use determination, resoluteness. To help us, we've been promised that eventually we will be able to do everything that Jesus did. In Philippians 4:13, it says, I can do everything through him who gives me strength. And through the power of the Holy Spirit, Jesus promises to be with us always. How might we more fully devote our entire life to follow the Lord? And do we know and understand our unique individual purpose, our God-given purpose? As per the dictionary definition, the reason for which something exists, and that's us, or done, made, or used. I have one or two pictures of everyday objects, and I wonder if you know the purpose of some of their features. The first one is, you recognize it, denim jeans. But can you tell me what the little pocket inside the other pocket is for?
That's like a case.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Mm-hmm.
Key.
Anything else? All good answers, but not what it was designed for. When denim jeans were designed and made, they were made as trousers for men doing very, very physical work. That's why they're so tough, and that's why they don't just have buttons, they have sort of iron rivet things. And in those days, people didn't have a wristwatch. If anybody had a watch, they had a pocket watch, and that little pocket's for their pocket watch to go in. The next picture Saucepan, we've all got them. But what's the hole at the end of the handle for? To put it on a hook? Sorry, Christina. Didn't hear. Oh, to let the steam out. No. Okay. Beth's got it. It's actually designed for your cooking spoon to go in. And if you angle it the right way and you have the lid off, you can stir. Then you can put your spoon in and it drips into the pan instead of all over your workbench. Okay. Donut is the next one. Okay, we all know them, we all love them. But why do they have a hole in the middle? Yeah, yeah. That's the best answer. Does anybody know? No. Well, when they first made them, they were solid. And they found that no matter what they did, they didn't actually cook in the middle. And so they thought, we'll solve that. We'll just make a hole in the middle, and now they cook evenly.
Nice and
easy. That's right. And the final one. It's a notebook, and you'll see there's red margins down either side. We've all had exercise books at school, and they've got these lines down them. So what are the lines for? Eh? Any other ideas? No. Actually, what they're made for is when books, I suppose, were in their infancy, they were precious, paper was precious, not many people had them. And wherever they were stored, mice and general vermin used to nibble at the edges. When the books were closed, they used to nibble around the edges. And so to keep whatever was written in them safe, they made that margin so that people only wrote within the margin and mice could do the damage around the edge but not damage what was written in them. So, just as these things were designed to carry out those purposes, so are we. Brother Lawrence in the practice of the presence of God says, I am in the hands of God. And he has his own good purposes regarding me. Therefore, I trouble not myself for aught that man can do to me. Rick Warren in The Purpose-Driven Life says, you were made by God and for God. And until you understand that, life will never make sense. It is only in God that we discover our origin, our identity, our meaning, our purpose, our significance, and our destiny. God wants to use you to make a difference in this world. He wants to work through you. As per the dictionary definition, the reason for which something exists or is done, made, used. In Soul Fuel, Bear Grylls says, you weren't a mistake and you're not overlooked. You're known and loved by the most powerful force in the universe. A man or woman with purpose is a powerful thing. It has been said that the two greatest days of your life are the day you were born and the day you found out why. But how do we discover our unique and individual purpose? Even before we were born, God had decided how each one of us would serve him. And he has shaped us to do those things. I can think of many things that I've done through my life that could only have been because God had planned I would do them. Things that I have done, not because the world told me I could and should do them, but simply because I'm God's child and he planned for them and equipped and enabled me to do them. Things that I could not have thought of doing other than with and for God. For instance, going to Cambodia, dealing with life's challenges, preaching, surviving cancer emotionally without fear, and hopefully changing into a better person. Each one of us will have a similar list. Sometimes God uses us even when we're unaware he's using us. I'm taking this from Bear Grylls' Soul Fuel. Broken pots. A water bearer in India had two large pots. Both hung on the ends of a pole that was slung across his neck. One of the pots was perfect and always delivered a full portion of water. The other was cracked. At the end of the long walk from the stream to the house, the cracked pot always arrived half full. The broken pot was embarrassed and miserable. One day, while the water bearer was filling it up at the stream, the pot spoke. "I'm ashamed of myself and I want to apologize to you. I have only been able to deliver half of what you gave me because of the crack in my side. I leak all the way back to your house making extra work for you." The water bearer smiled. "Haven't you noticed the flowers that are growing on only your side of the track? I've always known about your crack, and so I planted flower seeds on your side of the path, not on the other. You've watered them every day without realizing it. You don't need to be perfect for God to use you. You just need to be available." Sometimes we make mistakes and go astray, but God will get us back on track. F. Scott Fitzgerald said, "Never confuse a single mistake with a final mistake." Sometimes we get distracted and allow the world to creep in and use more of our attention than it should. Again, God will draw us back to him and his purpose. Rick Warren says, "So much of what we waste our energy on will not matter even a year from now, much less for eternity. Don't trade your life for temporary things." Sometimes our purposes can adjust. The small pocket in the jeans was for a pocket watch, but is now more normally used for small change, plectrums, etc. And our roles can sometimes alter according to the things the church is doing, our own growing maturity, etc. Don't get stuck in your purpose. Allow God to change and alter. He will have planned it to be so. If we have something that helps us carry out a task more easily, as in a place to safely keep our cooking spoon, then use it. The Bible, advice of others, time spent in prayer, seeking direction. Sometimes we have difficult times, like a donut getting a hole punched through it. But this is quite possibly a time of trimming and pruning. Jesus talks of this, so that we are in the best shape spiritually to carry out our God-given purposes. Whilst we serve him, God protects us, like the red margins on notebooks were designed to protect what was written inside. Protection comes from walking close to God, learning, praying, trusting our church family. The safeguards are there. Use them. We are part of the only army where the safest place to be is on the front line, sheltered under his arms. A Danish proverb says, "What you are is God's gift to you. What you do with yourself is your gift to God." Each of us has a purpose, a unique purpose. And we have been given gifts, passions, abilities, personalities, and experience that help us fulfill our ministries, as per the dictionary definition, an intended or desired result, end, aim, or goal. If you're struggling to identify your unique purpose, think about these five things and identify your gifts, your passions, your abilities, your personality, and your experiences. And you may find that they'll point you in the right direction. Pray about it. Seek answers in God's word. And ask folk to pray with you. Perhaps at cell group on Wednesday. If you don't want to wait until then, ask someone to pray with you after the service. Each of us has a purpose. John 15:16 says, "You did not choose me, but I chose you to go and bear fruit." Matthew 5:13-14 says, "You are the salt of the earth. You are the light of the world." And 1 Peter 2:9 says, "You are a chosen people, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, a people belonging to God, that you may declare the praises of him who called you out of darkness into his wonderful light." You have a purpose. God gave it to you, and God will help you use it. Shall we pray? Father, we thank you that we're your people. We thank you that you have brought us into this place and this time. And we just ask, Lord, that as a church, you would show us your purpose, that we would recognize it and we would act on it in obedience. We ask, Lord, as individuals, you would continue to reveal to us, each one of us, our unique purpose, the way that we're going to serve you. And we ask, Lord, that you would equip us fully. Let us allow you to shape us and to mold us so that we can carry out this service for you perfectly. Help us to be obedient. Help us to be faithful. And help us to use all that you've given us to give you glory. Ask it in Jesus' name. Amen.